Welcome to the Avengers Podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge the MCU and all things nerd, old and new. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and Threads, TikTok, Avengers Podcast, A-B-I-N-G-E-R-S Podcast. Give us a like, a comment, and let us know what you think of the show. You want to see the video version of the show? YouTube.com/TheAvengers. See our beautiful faces over there and let us know what you think. But I'm just one of your hosts. My name's Brandon. I can't do it alone. Emmy, how you doing?
I'm doing beautiful.
Nice. Please. She is feeling and doing beautiful. How are you, Keith?
I feel like I'm working for the weekend.
Oh, aren't we all?
My favorite 80s song.
Oh, man. Is that Loverboy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
Loverboy. I'm double checking that after I confirmed.
I like Loverboy. I love that song. Speaking of Loverboy, what if season two? That was a horrible segue. Fuck. What if season two, episode two? If you have not watched What If season two, episode two, do not listen any further. We're going to spoil it right away. So if you watched it, great. If you haven't, what if Peter Quill attacked Earth's mightiest heroes? Man, it's getting intense. Let's just say that.
Damn.
Yeah. When I read that title, I was like, holy shit, by the way. Like, Peter Quill. And I didn't think it was going to be Kid Peter. You know, it was like, oh, what if Tiny Peter? Well, that sounds weird, too. I wasn't ready for it. But if you have not watched...
Pym Particle Peter.
If you have not watched What If Season 2, Episode 2, do not listen any further. We're going to spoil it. We're going to do a quick take on it. So, leave. Okay. All right. God, thank God they're gone. All right. Now... let's get to our thoughts. Emmy, we saved you for last episode. You're going to go first this episode. What did you think of What If Season 2, Episode 2?
I like this one a lot more than Episode 1.
Yeah.
But Episode 1 literally buried the bar underneath land. So I...
oh my God.
You hate Episode 1 more than any episode from the first season?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. That's strong. That's strong. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and I think that the bad taste in my mouth from episode one going into episode two, I was like, I hate this.
Yeah. Oh, no, but, it didn't help at
but
all.
I did like this a bit more. I really liked the retro Avengers, like the team they put together. Mm-hmm. I thought was really cool.
Yes, agreed.
I liked the background and some new kind of like future history with Tony's parents. I still wasn't on board. I still wasn't like, oh, I can't wait to watch the rest of all these episodes of What If.
I never imagined Emmy would be the one shitting on this show so hard. This is hilarious.
I'm so sorry.
Well, you did put it second last. You put the season one was second last, I think, or third last.
Yeah, I just watched this right before we recorded. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it was second last.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And wait, I think. Oh, no. Okay. I think that maybe I might figure it out once we get to episode four why it didn't hit for me. But stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Okay.
All right.
Damn.
Keith, we're going to get you a second. What did you think of episode two?
I like, honestly, any time that we're reminded that these superheroes existed earlier than the years that the movie started coming out, because these comic books and Marvel in general, comic books have been coming out for decades, and it's cool to dive back into a history that we've established with the MCU and see, oh, this person would have been around. Yeah, and this person, like, already starting with Hank Pym as old as he is in the first Ant-Man movie,
mm-hmm.
You gotta show him younger. He's been doing it for years. He was doing it, you know, for the army covertly and S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, yeah. So it is, I really enjoyed this episode. I think it was a lot of fun. I'll leave it there. It felt like a movie in 30 minutes, which was, the pacing is so improved from season one.
Yeah. This is honestly, let's just play a hypothetical game. Let's play the hypothetical game that we've watched four episodes of What If. Okay. And just
crazy.
The first four of season two. if we have done that, I want to say that this is my favorite episode of the four. I liked this one the most because of the retro Avengers. I thought it was really cool to see Dr. Bill Foster, obviously Goliath. I really, really enjoyed seeing Howard Stark and kind of the contrast with Winter Soldier. It was jarring, and I liked it a lot. Also, as soon as they said we're putting a team together, the first thing I said was Hank Pym. Like, I said it out loud while watching it, and there's Hank. And I love that it was Michael Douglas voicing it. I mean, it sounded great. Michael Douglas, I think as well as they showed him de-aged in Endgame, as well as the first Ant-Man movie as well, it was so quick for me to see him as a younger Hank Pym. I love that. Yeah. And so, yeah, between all that and King T'Chaka, are you fucking kidding me? Hell yeah. Awesome. Wendy Lawson, fucking awesome. I really, really dug this team, and as well as Peggy Carter pulling some strings behind the, it was everything I wanted. The villain in a weird way is, yes, it's Ego and Peter Quill, and I don't know. This was sped up so quick, but I felt like I was right in the third act of a movie as opposed to, okay, I'm just getting whisked into what the fuck is going on. I felt like, oh, shit, we're at the climax of this. This is cool. And I think that was what I really enjoyed so much about this episode. It didn't feel like it was shoehorning a whole lot. It just felt like I was in the middle of something that was already a runaway train, and I just got on. And it was really cool for that.
Choo-choo, bitch.
Choo-choo, bitch. Yeah, so I'm going to say it. Yeah, this one, a whole lot of fun. Whole lot of fun. Very, very cool. And Peter Quill and Hope, like, hey, maybe there's, you know, what's going on?
Maybe there's hope.
Maybe there is hope, you know, for Peter after all. So anyway, I liked it. I really, really liked it. This one, actually, I'm going to say it, it's probably one of my favorite What If episodes, period. Not season two.
I've only seen two.
Out of
same.
Out of hypothetical four episodes of season two, and all of season one is not hypothetical. I have seen all that. This is probably number one or two. That the Black Panther one as Star-Lord is really up there as well. But yeah, this one's really, really good. So
if I'm pretending that I've seen four episodes of season two right now,
just pretending.
I'm just pretending. I'd say this is my second favorite.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into that later.
Okay.
But to your point about Michael Douglas coming back and being Hank Pym, nearly all of the voice actors came back for this episode, except for Chris Pratt. I don't know why he just couldn't like get his octave up, I guess.
No. He's playing Garfield. He's busy playing Garfield.
Oh, he's
yeah.
Don't get me started on that fucking.
Okay. He's busy stealing our entire 80s and 90s childhood. Garfield, Legos, Mario, Marvel. What is he not in? Fuck.
People keep going back to like, oh, he was so beloved in Lego Movie, the Lego Movie.
Jurassic
Doesn't
Park.
It make perfect sense that he would be Mario and Garfield?
No.
No.
No. No.
Make any sense.
No, that is not an argument. Anyway, so he's busy stealing our childhood. That's what he was. Yeah. So, yeah.
The cast of this is insane. Like everybody, Haley Atwell, John Slattery, Lawrence Fishburne, Annette Bening. Like, this is a star-studded fucking episode of a 30-minute cartoon on a streaming service. It's so strange to me that they got this. That's the craziest cast I've ever heard for a 30-minute special. That's awesome.
A 30-minute cartoon special of all things, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking rad. I fucking dig it. So.
Yeah. And I got some cool bits, but you're absolutely right about the Howard and Winter Soldier. The fact that they even in 30 minutes got a little side arc for Bucky and Howard to have a resolved kind of thing for us, just to play with, you know, what if he didn't just beat his face to
keep in mind, this is 1980.
Tony's death.
Keep in mind, this is 1988. There's still time between December 16th, 1991. All right, it can still happen. It can still happen. But I do think you're right. I love the arc that they told beforehand. I think you're spot on. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Completely agreed.
Okay. And I really like the Goliath Ant-Man dynamic as well. Wasn't ready for that.
Yeah.
Fucking A. I felt like it was better told here than it was in Ant-Man 2. Like,
and
I can't believe I'm saying
Fishburne
that.
Yeah. Goliath got some of the best lines in this episode just for comedy, and I could listen to Lawrence Fishburne read me a sports almanac, and not only would it be incredibly buttery and deliciously relaxing, I would fall asleep because it's sports. So it's just, I want to hear that now, right now. So Lawrence Fishburne, please, if you're ever not having any work, which I don't think he's ever been starved for work.
I don't think he has either. Yeah.
Fall back on that.
Yeah.
You know?
I will say
reading sports almanacs to Keith.
So
just to me, don't put it out for the world to hear. Just hit me up.
So that's all three of our thoughts there. Real quick, I mean, I'm going to do the quick plot, and then we'll kind of go back to your thoughts. It's Project Pegasus. There's this huge thing going on with Ego, the expansion, and basically the sun of the earth and the stars, which is Star-Lord. Obviously, we see that the armies of the Nine Realms have perished per Thor, and Peter Quill just causing a shitstorm, but he comes to Earth kind of like, I want to go on a Ferris wheel and also fuck up a few things too. So a little conflicted there, but there's obviously the seedling, it's awakening, it's master's nears. There's a lot of things going on, very similar to the Guardians 2 plot. And so Ego, he's right away. Yondu delivered Peter to Ego. And this is kind of what it would have been like if that had occurred. And right away, not waiting until he's grown. Like, here he is right now. Let's take over. Here we go. And it's really,
six
really
months.
They suit up. And it's really, really a cool story. Hope obviously sees, oddly enough, Hope in Peter. She communicates with him, figures out that, hey, he really isn't this bad of a guy. And he's conflicted himself. This is his home. This is a place that means the most to him. It takes over into the form of a bunch of Ego dirt clods, and they just then a big dirt mound, and then it's like, get a fucking Swiffer and fucking vacuum that shit up. I don't know, but
or roll, fucking giant man, roll. Why did he not roll?
Oh my god,
that I think is my biggest gripe of
that
this
is
episode.
Such a good critique. That is such a Why didn't he fucking roll? Damn it,
fucking
me.
Steamroll,
all right,
baby.
Thank you for joining us for episode 2 of The Avengers. That's it. That's the whole point. That's it. There's done. Nothing there else. Yeah, done. Bye. All right, see ya.
Point. Never mind. I don't like this episode at all anymore.
Yeah, see ya. No, I'm joking. But that's a really good take. I think that was, but it really was. It was cool to see the team up. It's cool to hear Michael Douglas and to, hear Chris Pratt as a young boy. It was really, really awesome. And that's it. And the suit up team, I fucking love it. I was like, I love that it didn't start with a Tony Stark. I love that that's what I love. Like when it feels like it's been here for years, and there was teams and there was because a lot of us think, 2008 or, I know Captain America, I know Captain Marvel, but like it still feels like 2008 was kind of that central focal point. And to see like this feels like a more lived in universe. Emmy, stop smelling farts while I'm talking. It feels like a lived in universe. I enjoy that. I appreciate that. This one's going to be hard to beat for me. So anyway, that's kind of the plot. Emmy, why did I fart and what did you smell?
Yeah.
Okay. You said it. You're glad that it didn't start with a Tony Stark, but it started with a Howard Stark.
Exactly. So the legacy lives on, kind of. He's not as smart as his son, but...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Compassionate enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like when this universe feels bigger than Tony, and sometimes I feel like Tony... Get out of here. Shut the... Amy, I'm done.
Is that like a dick size laugh?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Anytime you hear it, it's her thinking about dicks. It's just a bag of dicks. That's all she's thinking about. Shout out. Shout out, Reds Are on Fire. We'll talk later.
Can you please say the words, thank you for my bag of dicks?
No, not okay. Saying it. Not saying
I will it. Say it. Jeremy, thank you for my bag of dicks.
Wait. You got to say it in your best Brandon impression.
Thank you for my bag of dicks.
That was so dead on.
Every time I talk, I do this. I do this little hand. Thank you for my bag. No, you almost got me to say it. I was like, oh, fuck. She's better. No, almost worked.
Oh, we're going to get him. No, we're going to get him. No.
5-1 odds. 10-1. I'm going to get you. I don't know how, but I'm going to get you.
I'm sorry. I derailed that hard.
Okay. Oh, it's all good. It's all good. Anyway, yeah.
You were talking about the feeling of Tony being bigger.
No, it's over now. We're not going to go back to that. It's done. We've moved forward at this point.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. That was so much more explicit.
Yeah. Yeah.
The feeling of Tony being bigger.
I don't think I said it like that at all, Amy. I think that's what you heard, but that's not what I said.
It awakened something inside of me. Yeah.
Just felt the girth all of a sudden. Nice.
This is a stupid question. Have you guys read 50 Shades of Grey?
No.
I was only able to get to 40.
Okay. In that book, she talks about her inner goddess a lot. Her inner goddess. I'm like, oh, my inner goddess is... Sorry. And that's how I heard what you were talking about.
Nice.
My inner goddess. My inner goddess is a child.
And she's reading that smut?
I know.
My goodness.
I should be better.
Put her to bed.
Yes, I agree.
Turn off your light.
King King T'Chaka.
Yes.
Seeing him get his moment in the limelight.
Oh, wonderful.
That was amazing. Wonderful. That was really cool. I loved his outfit. Mm-hmm. Like his ass kicking outfit.
With like the kind amazing. Of like where he
with
had,
the yeah, the mm-hmm, draping.
The draping over his shoulder. I thought it was phenomenal. Yeah. Yeah.
Can I add to that?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No, Keith, shut the fuck up. Sorry, Amy, go on. Don't mind him.
My inner goddess is talking.
Well, I certainly don't want to silence.
Oh, silence it all day. What do you got?
It was something I learned when looking stuff up about this episode is not only did the actor who played younger T'Chaka come back to voice this, that actor is also the son of the guy who plays older T'Chaka. And I had no idea.
Yes. Fuck up. Yes. You guys didn't know that?
Isn't that awesome? I didn't know that.
I actually knew that.
That's so cool.
Amy, you just completely blew her mind. Yes.
So in the beginning of Black Panther,
yes. The
guy who plays the guy who plays.
Yeah, they didn't just pick somebody who sounds and looks just like him.
It's really his son. It's really his son.
Really?
Did we not say that in our review? I thought we did.
Well, if we did, I forgot.
It was a while back. We reviewed it in 2020, but I swear to you, I thought we talked about it. But yeah.
It's 2023 for a couple more days. No one has to remember nothing these days.
That's true. That's almost 4 years ago.
Hey, guys, time doesn't exist right now, okay? Like, nobody knows anything. What day is it?
Okay. Yeah.
Who knows?
Amy, just because Amy's not going to school, she's like...
Fuck it. I think it's Schmurz Day.
It's something like that.
The other thing that's cool is there's a Black Panther animated series coming out that apparently is going to jump around in time.
Oh.
So we will probably get to meet this mysterious Black Panther father of T'Chaka who gave the vibranium to make the cap shield.
Oh, that would be fucking phenomenal. Oh, sign me up.
Which, loved the touch that they were like, yeah, we lent you some vibranium, and somebody said something about making a frisbee out of it, and he's like, oh, but we lost it in the Arctic.
Yes. Just how quick it is. Just
throwaway lines, but like
good.
I was like, I saw that. I see what you did there.
And some wink and a nod to those that have paid attention and watched the MCU. It's wonderful. Yeah, I agree.
There's so many good throwaway lines in there. Like Howard Stark saying, sure, blame the absentee father. I love that so much.
Yes.
So good.
He himself is kind of that guy sometimes. Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. When he says the girl was right, and Peggy says, I wish I had that printed on a t-shirt, I was like, that.
it was really cool to see the relationship built in the first Captain America movie kind of blossoming in a new way, because not only does Howard and Peggy know each other for all this time, but they both know Bucky. They both have that relationship, and we've only ever seen it from Steve's point of view, not theirs. So it's just cool to, yeah.
And what
I I felt that whenever Bucky first is shown and Howard says something like the man we knew is long gone or something like that. And I was like, I was like, wait a minute, the man they did know him.
Yeah.
And like it was like a holy shit moment. Like a
Yeah.
that's really cool.
And going back to the original Ant-Man, we saw this just for a glimpse with Peggy, Hank, and Howard in the very first Ant-Man movie. And to see it here just a little bit more, fleshed out was appreciated for me. It just, I don't know. I really liked it. So it's all those points, but just on a bigger, or yeah, I would say a bigger
Kind of
scale.
gives those
more fleshed
moments more
out.
weight. Yeah, it gives them
Yeah,
gravitas.
I liked it.
And Hank saying, I've tried so hard to keep all of this technology out of the Stark's hands and like all that interconnectedness. I'm starting to like this episode a little bit more
It's a good one.
than
It's a good one.
I did initially.
Yeah, this one's solid. This one actually, I was like, oh damn. After this episode, I was like, bring on What If season two. Okay, this one's pretty rock solid.
For me,
I
this was like
think.
a redemption arc for Kirk Douglas, Michael Douglas, being in a What If episode, because with that episode where someone takes out all the Earth's Mightiest Heroes in season one, I hated that Hank was evil by the end. I was so pissed. I was like, fuck off. I'd never believe that.
Exactly.
But yeah.
I think one of my issues though is I would love to see that team up, that like 80s team up of like Earth's Mightiest Heroes all together. But I didn't like the antagonists they were teaming up against. Like it wasn't Ego for me, Peter Quill for me. Like that wasn't that was the issue for this episode. It wasn't I'm not gonna say he's not a Thanos level villain. It just like I don't know. I just something about that I was just like bleh.
That leads to one of my nitpicks
You
for this
understand that?
episode.
Bleh.
Yeah,
Bleh.
what's the nitpick?
The nitpick for me is the animation that the strides that they've made in animation for action sequences and tech sequences and very cool stuff, very cool backdrops is great. They've made strides for sure. The one thing that they can't seem to get right is mouth movements and hair. And I'm definitely projecting because as an artist, I hate looking at older stuff that I've done where I didn't care about hair and I would just draw it real quick and I would just get it over with because I just didn't think it mattered. And you see the difference when you spend a bit of time on the stuff that's the hardest to do, and hair is one of those things. I just think that Ego, the way he looks, is very silly. And I don't think he's intimidating at all. In this, his power is very cool. His part is voice acting is very good. I love Kurt Russell, but his look was shitty
It's
to
funny because I never, obviously, that's the thing about these shows that I think it's just always going to be a struggle is the stakes just never feel high because it just feels like a
me.
quick throwaway 30 minutes. Let's just get you on a fun ride and then, get you off of it. Like it doesn't ever feel like, oh, are they gonna lose or is this shit gonna, it always just feels like, okay, they're gonna figure this shit out. And Ego, yeah, one, he looked like a Ken doll, from the 70s
Yes,
coming down. He just looked like, which. Michael Douglas, I guess, kind of looked like that too. Think about it. But back in the day,
Not
but
Michael Douglas, Kurt Russell.
so, excuse me, Kurt Russell. But yeah, I just think, yeah, I just never could take the threat seriously as well as a little Peter Quill like got his stuffed animal cut by the head. I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Like that was also a little nitpick for me. It was just kind of like, what? Also communication. Emmy, you have engraved this into my brain, and I blame you for my fucking. Because now I critique this all the goddamn time, but it's all because of Emmy saying this several episodes back. Communicate, talk, figure this out. Like Hope talks to Peter, gets to the bottom of it in 5 seconds. She's like, "Hey, there's a fucking
Yeah.
Walkman. Oh, you like Walkmans? This is cool. Oh, you're not a bad
And the
kid.
girl is right.
Yeah, like I just, it just talk." Talk it out. Hey, little dude, why are you blowing shit up? You all right? What's going on? You know?
All right.
Yeah, but
All
like,
right.
but
What's
no,
going on inside?
but no one's doing that. No one's even talking.
Yeah.
Like, just put him in a fucking cage and yeah, we'll just get it figured out, man. It just, once again, it's like, okay, I love the team up. I loved a lot of the elements, but at the end of the day, it's solved by just saying, oh, he's not that bad. If you just talk to him. Like, it just seems like that trope that Okay. Like, I watched White Christmas over the holiday break, and the whole fucking premise is they don't fucking talk to each other. And it drives me up the fucking wall. She assumes he's an asshole. He assumes she's just moody as shit. And they go their separate ways. And then it's like, oh, he's not an asshole. And she's like, well, I'm sorry for being moody. That's the whole fucking, like, that's the whole fucking movie. And I don't like that. And that show is just, I don't know. Anyway, White Christmas, shitty movie. Put that in a one-star review.
On the communication front, I agree with you. I also agree that maybe Wendy Lawson should explain to the, if she's giving her ship to the Winter Soldier, explain that it blowing up would destroy the planet. How fast you need to get to that fair that's not that far from New York where they landed to begin with. You don't need the light speed jet that could kill everyone.
Yeah.
You need it at the end. Why are we using that?
Well, you needed it at the end. She needs to save the day, almost as if on cue, Wendy. That was a funny line to me. But the the light speed ship was only useful once. Yeah. And then to point out how dangerous it is to use it every other time is really funny.
Very true.
I was going to say, animation, they have come a long way. They have come a long way. And while you were complaining about Kurt Douglas. That's a
we are all fucking up, man.
Kurt Russell.
Unfortunately, Michael Douglas's dad is also an actor named Kirk. So now there's a Kirk involved. There's I did it. It's my bad.
And a cuck. This is all bad. Emmy, what? Yep.
Kirk Cuck Douglas and Kirk Russell.
That child, had you not told me that was Peter Quill, I would have had no fucking clue.
Generic. Child
just
from
generic
the
white kid.
Yeah. Chris Pratt can't get the voice right anymore. He can't do it.
Listen carefully. He got it. He nailed it a couple times.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, he did go, it's a me Mario one time, threw me off, but he did it.
Let's go.
And yeah. He also said, I hate Mondays. Where's my lasagna?
Where's my lasagna? And he's also like, whoa, dinosaurs, chill out. Oh, Legos. Everything is awesome.
Blue,
shut the
blue. I see you.
Shut the fuck up, Chris Pratt. Quit stealing our childhood. God. Fucking asshole. All right. I think that may be a good bow on episode 2.
I miss Chris Fat.
Me too. Guys.
Parks and Rex, Andy Dwyer. That was that like before he got cast as Star-Lord was that was peak Chris Pratt.
That was it. Well,
whenever he had the broken leg because he fell in the pits.
This is probably peak Avengers. You probably should not listen to episode 3 or episode 4 reviews. This is probably our peak right here.
Oh, wait. I had something that was actually... Oh, somebody at some point in this episode... Okay, because of course I have notes, and I have to hit all of them. I won't hit all of them.
Don't hit all of them, because we got to go.
No, somebody had a point. Somebody at some point says, I have a plan. Retreat. Which is a line from
the Avengers, the very first Avengers. Iron Man. I have a plan. Attack.
Yep. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was the opposite of that line. Exactly. And I liked that.
Yes.
Because Tony and Hank are opposites. I don't know. I just fucking pulled that out of my ass.
Sure.
Is that right?
Yeah. No, totally.
Am I right?
No, it works. Yeah.
Listeners, blow up in the comments about whether or not I'm right. Tony and Hank. Opposites.
Someone right now is like fucking making shortbread cookies. Like, I ain't fucking commenting. Fuck off.
What did you say they were? Shortbreads? Put down the fucking shortbreads, Lance.
Lance.
And tell us, Lance Bass of NSYNC. I know you're listening.
Allegedly, he listens to the podcast.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I love you. Oh, if you played for a different team, we could be lovers.
All right.
Backstreet Boys?
We could be lovers.
All right, guys, we're wrapping it up.
I have two more. Okay. Even What If couldn't make that child bad. Like Peter Quill, they couldn't make him bad. Like no matter what, that I think that Peter Quill is a gentle, wonderful, amazing, sweet soul.
Yes.
Led by emotions, as we saw in Infinity War, but yeah. He's a good dude.
But yes,
he didn't mean to fuck up.
He didn't.
I think he's a genuinely good dude.
Team Quill.
Even What If they couldn't make him wholly bad. And then also at the very end of the episode, Wendy gives Goose to the children. And you never say no to a free cat, man.
Oh, I would.
If there's one thing I know.
I would. God. Anyone
you
want
don't
a free
say
cat?
No to a free cat.
Anyone want a free cat? I got a free cat. All right. You guys can. Jesus. All right, guys. Well, that's What If Season 2, Episode 2. What if Peter Quill was a dick? We hope you enjoyed.
What if Peter Quill was a dick? But he's not a dick. And at the end of the episode, he's still not a dick.
We're heading on out. You wanna,
that's true.
You want to support the show? Patreon.com/AdventuresPodcast. $1 pays our bills, and you get more dick jokes. It's a win-win for you and for us. Also, you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, X, Threads, TikTok, Avengers Podcast, ABINGERS Podcast. Also, YouTube.com/TheAvengers. Watch a video version of this. Laugh along the way. Get to see Emmy in a hoe hat. It's really, really wonderful.
I made this myself.
She made it herself. Shocking. It looks so high quality. I really would have never imagined. Anyway, we're heading on.
You would have thought it was Gucci.
Definitely looked Gucci to me. As soon as I saw that, I was like, she didn't make that. We're heading on out of here. Guys, we'll see you later. Join us for episode 3. We'll drop that in a day or so. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We're out of here. Emmy, Keith, any final words?
Thor's character design in this episode was so much better than Party Thor. So much better. Sorry.
God, I agree.
We could be lovers.
Oh, God.
And that's a fact. We could be lovers.